Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Maitreya said, having learned that Dhruva's anger had lingered and that he had refrained from killing, Kuvera, the master of the treasury who is worshipped by the Charanas, Kenaras and Yakshas, appeared there and spoke to Dhruva, who stood with folded hands before him. The master of the treasury said, O son of the ruler, I am very glad with you, O sinless one, because you, under the instruction of your grandfather, gave up the enmity that is so difficult to avoid. Factually, you did not kill the Yakshas, nor did the Yakshas kill your brother. It is the time that is the master of annihilation and generation of all living beings. One's intelligence is of ignorance with the misconceptions of I and you. To a person following the bodily concept, life appears to be just like in a dream. It constitutes the cause of bondage and misfortune. I wish you all good fortune, O Dhruva. Keeping that in mind, live for the worship of the Supreme Lord beyond the senses of all living beings, and think of him in the form of the one Supersoul residing within all that lives. Be of devotion unto him whose lotus feet deserve it to be worshipped, for they deliver you from a material existence and cut through the knot of being materially entangled. Even though he, in his potency of ruling the modes, is connected to them, he by his inconceivable nature is aloof from them. O King, please ask without hesitation from me whatever you deem desirable, O son of Uttanapada. We heard, dear man, about your endurance at the lotus feet of him from whose navel the lotus sprouted, and that you thus deserve the benediction. Maitreya said, he who by the treasure king of all kings, the ruler of the Yakshas, was offered a benediction, asked as a first-class, intelligent and thoughtful devotee of the Lord, for the continuous remembrance by which one without difficulty crosses over the unsurpassable ocean of nations. Kuvera, the son of Idavida, who was very pleased with Dhruva's mentality, granted him that remembrance and next disappeared from sight. Dhruva then also returned to his capital. He thereafter worshipped by means of sacrificial ceremonies and great charities, with all that he had, he could accomplish, and the divine support that he could find, the ruler of all sacrifices, the objective of one's life, who awards all results. Uninterruptedly rendering service unto the one infallible soul above all, he saw all living beings as present in him alone and him almighty, as the one and only present within all living beings. Thus endowed with godly qualities, he, who as a kind protector of the principles of Dharma had respect for the Brahmins and the poor, was considered the father of the people. During the 36,000 years of his rule over the planet Earth, he by enjoyment exhausted his merits and by austerity diminished his misfortune. Thus free from agitating his senses, the great soul, life after life, for many, many years, favorably executed the three kinds of civil duties, after which he handed the royal throne over to his son. He realized that this universe, consisting of his external energy, was a phantasmagoria to the soul, something that, just like a dream, is a result of ignorance. He considered everything created, comprising his body, his wives, children, friends, his influence, riches, the pleasure grounds, the facilities for his women, and the complete of the beauty of the earth with its oceans, as something bound to time, and for that reason he left for Badarikashrama. There he purified his body by bathing in pure water and, fixed in yogic postures, controlled the breathing process by withdrawing the mind from his physical senses. Concentrating on the exact form of the Lord he constantly kept in mind, he thus meditating became fully absorbed. Constantly engaged in his devotion for Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was of an everlasting bliss and was time and again overcome by a stream of tears that made his heart melt and made all the hairs of his body stand on end. He no longer remembered that he had a body and was thus liberated from also the subtlety of being materially bound. Dhruva saw a very beautiful heavenly vehicle descending from the sky that illumined him and the 10 directions as if the full moon itself had appeared. Therein he discerned 2 beautiful demigods with 4 arms, a blackish skin, being quite young and with eyes as pink as a lotus flower. They held clubs and were attractively dressed and decorated with helmets, bracelets, necklaces and earrings. Understanding them to be the 2 servants of the renowned one, he stood up, but, being puzzled, he did not know any more how to receive them with proper respect, and thus he respectfully joined his hands, offering his obeisances by chanting the names of the chief of these associates, the enemy of Madhu. He whose heart was always absorbed in thoughts of the feet of Lord Krishna, very humbly folded his hands and bowed his head, while Nanda and Sunanda, the 2 chief servants of the one with the lotus navel, smilingly approached and addressed him. Nanda and Sunanda said, "O best of kings, all good fortune to you. Listen attentively to our words. You are the one who, being 5 years old, greatly satisfied the Lord by doing penance. We, as the associates of the creator of this entire universe, of the Godhead who carries the bow named Sharanga, have approached you to take you with us to the abode of the Lord. You have achieved the world of Vishnu, so difficult to achieve that not even the greatest souls of enlightenment can reach there. Come and see the supreme abode around which, to the right, the moon, the sun, the other planets and the stars are circumambulating. This has never been achieved by your forefathers nor by others, O dear man. Come and live there in that supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, who is so worshipable for the inhabitants of the universe. O immortal soul, you deserve it to board this unique heavenly vehicle that was sent to you by the one praised in the verses, the head of all living beings." Sage Maitreya said, "Having heard the words that like honey poured from the chief associates of the Lord, he, who was so dear to him, took a purifying bath and performed his daily duties. Thereupon he greeted the sages and accepted their blessings. After, with prayers, having circumambulated that excellent heavenly vehicle, and also having paid the 2 associates his obeisances, he whose form shone with the golden effulgence was ready to get on board. The son of Uttanapada thereupon saw death personified approaching him. He put his foot on his head and thus ascended the wonder that was as big as a house. At that moment, kettle drums, mrdangas, and small drums and such resounded, while the chief heavenly singers sang and flowers showered like rain. When he was about to ascend to the heavenly abode, Dhruva remembered his mother Suniti and thought, 'How can I go to the difficult to attain world above all worlds and leave my poor mother behind?' Understanding Dhruva's worries, the 2 superior beings of enlightenment pointed out to him that she, in her divinity, had preceded him on the path. On his way, being covered by flowers that here and there by the demigods full of praise were showered upon him from their heavenly vehicles, he passed, one after the other, all the heavenly spheres. In his Vimana, rising above the 3 worlds, and even going beyond the great sages, Dhruva, who had attained eternal life, then reached the abode of Lord Vishnu. Radiating by its effulgence, that place illumines from within all the 3 worlds everywhere, and also makes them radiate. It can only be reached by those who constantly engage in welfare activities, and not by those who are not merciful with other living beings. Peaceful, equipoised, pure and pleasing to all living beings, do they who are befriended with his devotees easily reach the abode of the Infallible One. Dhruva, the son of Uttanapada, who, fully devoted to Krishna, found his purity, thus became the crown jewel of the three worlds. The sphere of the luminaries, being connected with great force and speed, unceasingly encircles that place, O Kaurava, like being a herd of bulls moving around a central pole. Having observed Dhruva's glories, the wise and great Lord Narada played his stringed instrument in the sacrificial arena of the Prachetas, chanting the following verses. Narada sang, "Due to his austerity, the son of Suniti, who served her husband so devotedly, could attain that position. Not even those whom one calls the followers of the Vedas are, despite their awareness of the means, certain of such an attainment, not to mention the chances of regular human beings. He who at the age of 5 years, aggrieved about the harsh words of the wife of his father, in pursuance of my instruction, deeply pained in his heart, went to the forest, won over the Supreme Master, winning with the qualities of his devotees. After pleasing the Lord of Vaikuntha, he, only 5 or 6 years old, in the shortest possible time, attained his protection. Any other person cannot even expect to attain, after many, many of such years of renunciation on earth, the exalted position that Dhruva, this Kshatriya son, attained." Maitreya said, "I have told you everything you asked me here about the great and famous character of Dhruva, who is so very much appreciated by many. To hear this bestows wealth and repute, increases one's lifespan, and is so greatly sacred and auspicious that one can even attain Dhruva's heaven with it, pleasing as it is to the mind and glorious in counteracting all kinds of sin. Repeatedly listening to it with faith, one will develop devotional activities dear to the Infallible One, and therefrom there is bound to be the full defeat of all hindrances. For the one who hears it, there are the qualities of his good conduct and such. The story constitutes a source of strength for souls seeking strength, and is a breeding ground for the honor of those who are thoughtful. Carefully sing, in the company of twice-born souls, in the morning and the evening, the glories of the sacred renown and great character of Dhruva. At the time of a full moon or a new moon, on the day after Ekadasi, when this Shravana star appears, at the end of a Tithi, on a day called Vyatipata, at the end of the month, or on a holiday, you should recount the story to a receptive audience without desiring remuneration, and take shelter of the lotus feet of him who is the refuge of the seeker. You will find your mind then pacified by the soul, and thus become perfect. He who imparts this knowledge to souls unaware of the original reality walks the path of truth and immortality, and will be blessed by the gods for being a kind protector of the seekers. O best among the Kurus, this was my description of the activities, the fame, and the great purity of Dhruva, who, as a child forsaking his toys and his mother, left home and found the shelter of Lord Vishnu.